follow me.
Come follow me. Do you remember these words from Scripture? The first time I remember these words is when Jesus called his apostles. I'm thinking about Peter. Peter's busy fishing. He's doing his duty. He catches a great multitude of fish, and what does he do after this? He falls down before Jesus, and Jesus says, come follow me. I just think, could have he said no? And of course he could have. We all have free will. But why would if he said no after what he experienced? And I think what captured Peter's heart more than the great catch of fish was how Jesus gazed into his heart. That's how I see the scripture when I pray on it. Jesus gazed into his eyes and looked into his heart, and he said, come follow me. And when Simon looked up into Jesus' eyes, he saw everything in my mind. He saw everything that he wanted to be. Something came alive in his heart. But then today, I read the scriptures that Father Gabriel brings up of the rich young man. And he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, follow the commandments. And basically, Jesus gives him a litany and he says, well, I've done all these. What do I lack? And Jesus says to the rich young man, sell everything and follow me. And this man goes away sad. What's the difference? All we know of him is he's the rich young man. The man who said no to Jesus. We have Peter, who was Simon, who said yes to Jesus. I mean, we know the rest of his story, but this rich young man, I feel so sad for him. What could have become of his life? We just don't know. Father Gabriel points out today that through this invitation, Jesus is inviting him to two things. To give away his riches, which is the poverty. And then the other thing is to follow Jesus, which is the obedience. The two vows, he kind of mentions them. The vow of poverty and the vow of obedience. And he's specifically referring to religious life. So sometimes I have a struggle relating this back to the layperson's life, like my life. But in one way, I think we can identify it is that we all have to detach from our material possessions. But that's only 50% of the story. Because had the young rich man simply detached and sold everything, that's not what Jesus was merely asking him. He needed to do something else. He needed to follow Jesus. In other words, he had to give up being the master of his own will and let Jesus rule his life and follow Jesus. But he went away sad. And so in our Lenten observance, we can do all the commandments. We can fulfill all the legalistic rituals of the law. And of course, they're important, the precepts of the church and the importance of fasting. We can fulfill all the externals, but we can still go away sad if we don't let Jesus be the master of our life. In other words, giving up our will to Jesus. This is one thing the rich young man lacked. Obedience to God. Father Gabriel writes, to follow Jesus means to imitate his virtues, among which obedience certainly ranks first. Jesus came into the world to accomplish the will of his Father. It is written of me that I should do thy will, O God. And so in everything in Jesus' earthly life, he subject himself to the will of God the Father. Not only that, but he subjected himself to earthly authorities. Who? Well, firstly, Saint Joseph and our Blessed Mother. He was obedient to them, Scripture says. He subject himself to them. Father Gabriel writes, thus he lived for 30 years, subject in all things to Mary and Joseph, recognizing his father's authority in theirs. He was subject to them, the gospel says, as it summarizes in these few words the long years of the private life of the Savior. Think about this. The Holy Family living together, who had the best ideas? Jesus. Who had the greatest insights into how life worked? Jesus. Yet Jesus made himself subject to Mary and Joseph. The one who has the title, the way, the truth, and the life, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, humbled himself and was obedient to the authorities that were in his life. This for us, I think, is a great lesson of humility and obedience. That if Jesus needed to be obedient and give up his will, then we do as well. And who do we give up our will to? Well, ultimately, we have to go to God and say, it's not my will, but yours be done. And we see this also in Jesus' passion. I think about him in the garden when his apostles are fast asleep and he's alone in his suffering. And he perceives what is around the corner. And what does he say? Father, if this cup can pass, let it pass. Can you relate? Maybe you're going through something right now and the suffering is overwhelming to you. And maybe you're alone in the suffering because Jesus was alone in his suffering. The people who were closest to him in his life were sleeping on him. Have you ever felt that in your life? The people who had typically supported you are now sleeping on you and you're alone in your suffering? Jesus in that garden is alone in his suffering. And he says, Father, if this cup can pass, let it pass. And then he has these words, but not my will, but yours be done. And so we find ourselves sometimes in situations where maybe we choose our Lenten observance, but then sometimes God chooses them for us in the form of suffering or sickness or a humiliation. And we find ourselves alone in this. Can we say with Jesus, Father, not my will, but yours be done? Can we accept what he allows in our life, as Jesus did, and be obedient to him in that circumstance? So this is what stands out to me as I read today the meditations from Father Gabriel. One thing I don't want to be is that rich young man who made two mistakes. He remained attached to his worldly possessions, and he was still the master of his will. He did not learn obedience. As a result, what happened? He went away sad. That's the kind of person I do not want to become. Friends, share with me below what stood out to you and why. Janelle and I will see you tomorrow. Thanks for watching.